Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We broadcast on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. Today we're almost live, broadcasting almost live all the way from Saudi Arabia. We're in Riyadh and in a place called Sand Batha. And what that means, I have no idea, but there are a lot of great guests here visiting us, some of our Christian and non-Muslim friends, and we're sharing some information about what is Islam, who are the Muslims, and then their particular questions. And we're having an intermission, so I'll just try to entertain these questions while we're waiting to get started with the next program. First question. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It said, what is the difference between Nabi and Rasul? Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, Rasulullah, Allahu A'lam. It is Allah who has all knowledge. We only have what He gives us. The word Nabi in the Arabic language, I've seen it translated usually to mean a prophet. The word Rasul, I've seen it usually translated to mean a messenger. Whoever delivers the arsal, the message, is a Rasul. A messenger. So that's Rasul. A Nabi, the plural Anbiya, means prophet or prophets. The difference, according to the Arabic understanding of a Nabi, he is someone who comes and teaches people, of course, about La ilaha illallah. And he has a very high status with Allah. But a Rasul is a Nabi and a Rasul. He is a prophet and a messenger, meaning that he has a scripture that comes with him. For us, we understand that Enoch was the one who first wrote, so he would be the first Rasul. But there were Nabis before him, meaning Adam and all of those who were, prophesied what's going to come. If they had a book, something that they communicated, or a recitation that they passed on, then they were also Rasuls. Got it? That means that David and Suleiman are considered like this, because if they have the Zabur, the Psalms, then they have to be both. And Jesus, peace be upon him, of course, we know he had the Injil. So he has to be both a Nabi and a Rasul. We're talking about Jesus now. Jesus' book is called the Injil in the Arabic language. They use this word in English also, but they didn't know where it came from. They say evangel. Injil, evangel. Evangelical. That's where it comes from. From the Aramaic word, which is like Arabic, that Jesus spoke. Very good question. We thank you for that. Here's another one. It said, amongst the priests, monks, rabbis, or even the Pope, whom they devoted their lives serving God, are there salvations for them from Allah? Bismillah. Wa salatu wa salam wa sallallahu. We mentioned in the program, actually, the answer to this one. That whoever has submitted to God on his terms, following the current message, the current messenger, they are okay with Allah, up to Allah to judge them. So if anybody was following Christianity at the time of Christ, or following Moses' religion at the time of Moses, or Suleiman's religion at the time of Suleiman, or Muhammad's religion, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after him, then they're okay. Because it's the same religion. Worship God with no partners. As regards most of the people that I know who are preachers, priests, and so on, and I talk to them, they know that what they're saying is not really the teachings, but they know that's their doctrine. And if you think about it, you've heard them say, this is our doctrine, doctor of something, PhD of something, this is what we think, and this is what we teach. My own father was also an ordained minister, and he was kicked out of the church because he was teaching out of the Bible. And they said, we don't use the Bible, we use our doctrine. And he told them what they could do with their doctrine, and they fired him. Good question. We have another question. It said, the concept of Trinity, from where does it come? How many of you ever heard of something called Trinity? Raise your hand. You heard of something called Trinity? Yes. What does Trinity mean? It means three. Tri, T-R-I, like triangle, means three angles. Triune means a three form of government. The Romans had a triune government. So when the Romans took over the Christian religion, they forced them to have a triune government inside the religion and made the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was 300 years after Jesus. This is recorded in all the encyclopedias in religion and the general encyclopedias, such as Encyclopedia Britannica, the Encyclopedia America, and also the World Book Encyclopedia that they use in the schools. We know that the concept of Trinity existed prior to the Nicaea Council of 325, but it wasn't forced on anybody until after 325. Then you had to subscribe to it. In 340 and in 370 AD, they had two more council meetings, and they threw out their concept of Trinity, and then they put it back again. The concept of Trinity was also forced on the people during the Crusades, when the Pope sent the Crusaders over to Jerusalem and told them, kill anybody who doesn't say three. That means they killed Muslims, of course, because Muslims were in charge of the Jerusalem at that time. But they also killed the Jews, because Jews don't say three. And they also killed the Christians who didn't say three. About 500 years later, they did it again. In Spain, they had something called the Inquisition. And again, the Pope sent the people in there, and basically it came out the same way again. If you can't say three, we're going to chop you up in little pieces. They pulled those people apart. They drugged them behind horses. They ripped their skin off. They boiled them alive. They poked out their eyes with hot sticks. Even some women are raped in the name of Jesus, in the name of God. And they forced them to go to Christianity. How many of you heard about it? It's called the Inquisition. They did the same thing in the Philippines. The Philippines used to be ruled by the Muslims until the Christians went in and forced them by the sword to enter into Christianity. How many of you knew that? The place that you call Manila is from the Arabic word Amanallah. It means we leave this in the trust of God. And they even changed the name from Amanallah to Manila. This is again in the history books written by Christians. What I just told you is not from my point of view. You're welcome to go check it out for yourself. The concept of Trinity, how many of you think it's in the Bible? Raise your hand. If you can find it, I'd like to see it. I was a Christian for 47 years. I never found that word in the Bible. By the way, the word Bible is also not in the Bible. How many of you knew that? The word Bible is not in the Bible. The word Quran is in the Quran. And it is in the Bible. Oh, what? Yes. Quran means the recitation, and in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the unlettered prophet who will recite what he hears. That means Quran. So Quran is mentioned in the Bible, but Bible's not in the Bible. Bible is mentioned in the Quran. Ahl Kitab, the people of the Bible. What does Bible mean? Book. Book. That's all. It's Biblios. It comes from the Greek. Book. We, as Muslims, believe there was a Bible because our book, our Quran, tells us that the first books that came to the prophets only came from God, and they were book. Bible. And we believe there are people today who still follow that and are really good Christians, and they're called the Ahl Kitab. And they have a high status with us, and we love them and we respect them. There are other people who claim to be Christian or Jew, and they're bad. They don't even respect themselves, and so we don't consider them that way either. Now our last word, Trinity. Trinity is not in the Bible, it's not in the Old Testament, it's not in the New Testament. Is the word Trinity in the Quran? Yes. Oh, yes it is. It said, tell the Christians not to worship God as three, as a Trinity. It would be better for them. Oh. So, if we had any Christians, I guess I just did my job today. So, why did they get this idea? I already told you. The Roman government forced them to change a lot of things immediately. One of the things they said is you must worship God on Sunday. But the Bible says the Sabbath. The Sabbath means seven. That's what seven, the word seven, comes from Sabbath. Sabbath. In Arabic, Sabbath. In the Hebrew, it means the same thing, the seventh day of the week. Saturday. But the Roman government said what? Constantine was a sun worshiper, and he wants everybody worshiping on Sunday. By the way, guess what the next day is? It's for the worshipers of the moon. Moon day. The next day is the day for those who worship Zeus. Zeus day. The next ones are those who worship Woden. Woden's day. The next one, the god of war. Thor. Thor's day. How many of you knew these were ancient words for gods? That's why Jews and Muslims don't use it. We say Yawmul Ahad, Yawmul Thin, Yawmul Thalat, etc. We use the numbers. Day one, day two, day three, day four. Because we don't want to use the name of their false gods. So that's where that came from. The word Trinity is nowhere in the Bible, but guess what is? Somebody inserted a verse, according to F.F. Bruce, a top biblical scholar of the New Testament. He says in one of his books called A History of the Translations of the Bible into the English Language. It's a long title. In that book, which I got at the public library in San Antonio, Texas, he says that that verse in the Epistle of John 1, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7, is an interpolation, meaning somebody made it up and stuck it in there. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. But he said that's not a real verse, it was added. It also says that in the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. It doesn't have it in there. It's gone. Why? It never was there to start with. But F.F. Bruce gives the explanation of who put it in and why he put it in and all the rest of it. So guess what? You can't even use that verse because it doesn't exist. There is no such thing as 3 equals 1. How many of you think 3 can equal 1? Because if you think 3 can equal 1, if you don't mind, I'd like to make change with you. I'll give you 1, and you give me 3. It's the same for you. And then I'll give you another one, and you give me 3. And I'll give you another one, and you give me 3, until I have everything you have. And for sure, if anybody thinks that 3 can equal 1, I don't want him to do my income tax. It doesn't make sense. And it sure doesn't work in the English language, because if you say, because English language provides plural and singular for the form of the word to be, or the state of being. We say plural, they are. These are. Those are. But this is. He is. Yes? She is. Singular, right? So how will you say God is? Can only be one answer coming up now, right? Has to be what? Linguistically, it has to be one. Now, you could say gods are three, You could say gods are a million, but you can't say gods are one. Right? Doesn't make sense. I can't say these are two and then turn around and say these are one. It wouldn't work like that. It doesn't work, and it doesn't make sense. So if you see the math doesn't work, you see the language doesn't work, why would you ever say such a thing? Well, it's in the Bible. Where? We just proved it's not in the Bible. Well, yeah, but somebody... Oh, somebody. Who? Be careful. I'm talking now to Muslims. Be careful, Muslims. People will try to corrupt your religion just like people corrupted Christianity and Judaism. Don't let people corrupt our religion. Let's keep it pure for Allah. Allah said in the Quran about that in Surah Bayana, to keep the religion pure for Him, for God, establish regular prayer and pay the poor due, the charity. And this is the true religion, most clear. Thanks for a great question. I like that one. Here's the question. A lot of these questions are very similar. I'm going to try to put some of them together now. It said, what is the difference between Islam and Christianity in terms of following the prophets like Jesus and Muhammad? In Islam, we already said, Islam means to submit your will to God's will. That's what it means. Whoever's doing that to the best of their ability, it's up to God to judge them, not me. But as regards the teachings of Islam as a religion, as a noun, and the teachings of Christianity, I will tell you there's been a lot of evolution of the doctrine and teachings of Christianity. There have been many attempts to redefine what's Islam as well. But if you go to the pure source, let's go to the Quran itself and see what does the Quran teach and what did Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach. Let's go to that directly. Then that would be the correct religion, because that's what he taught. When it comes to Christianity, you can't do that. Why? Because the original teaching's gone. All they have is copies. They have over 5,000 copies, but they don't have the original. They don't know exactly what he said, because nowhere in it does it say, I'm Jesus and I'm telling you to believe this. It's all second and third hand accounts. The book of Luke says to somebody, my dear, most excellent Theophilus. That's somebody who's a Greek, not even a Christian. He's writing to him to tell him about the events of what happened. He said, other people are I'm giving you a more or less translation. He said, other people are coming up with their versions of what they saw, but I'm as qualified as anybody to tell you, and this is the way it looks to me. All right? So that means that's his version of what he's heard from other people. And by the way, who's Luke? Luke who? Who's Matthew? Matthew who? Some people said Matthew's a Levi. Who's John? Who's Mark? How many of you think that those books really had those names when they were written? Anybody? Well, I happen to know from the Bible scholars, myself, none of them had any names in the beginning. They used to have serial numbers like a license plate on your car, but they realized that they need to give it a personal touch. They said, well, it looks like somebody, a Levite, might have written this, and a Levite could have been named Matthew. So they named it Matthew. Luke, Mark, John, oops. So, guess what? We have Quran, and everybody here knows what's Quran. Nobody has a doubt. I'm talking about non-Muslims. You know what the Quran is, right? It's not a mystery to you. What? Muslims say it every day. They recite it in Ramadan. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to use common sense. Do you know it exists? Of course it exists. Is there a different version of Quran here in Saudi Arabia than there is in Kuwait? No. Different from Pakistan? No. Indonesia? Mm-mm. Malaysia? Uh-uh. Texas, where I'm from? Same Quran. The Quran is what is recited, not a book. So I don't care if you make a mistake in a book. That means nothing to me. I'm going to go listen to somebody that memorized it and listen to what he said because he knows it. We have over 9 million people today have totally memorized the Quran from their teachers, who memorized it from their teachers, who memorized it from their teachers. I can say this 28 times, you can take my word for it, 28 times back, okay? To their teachers, who were the companions of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and he memorized it, and he learned it from the angel Gabriel, Jibril, alayhi salam, and he got it from Allah. And there's nothing like it on earth, not for Christianity, not for Judaism, certainly not for the Hindus, nor for the Buddhists, nor anybody else. And Allah said in the Quran, if you're in doubt about it, bring a book like it. And He tells the disbelievers that, have not the disbelievers considered that if it were from other than Allah, it would be full of mistakes and contradictions? Find one. Go ahead. He even says, bring 10 chapters like it. How many in this room have memorized 10 chapters of the Quran? Raise your hand. How many? 10 chapters. What's 10 chapters? Surat al-Fil, Surat al-Ikhlas, and, you know, 10. Fatiha. Yes. Right here. For those of you that did remember those 10, can you bring 10 like it? Can't, no. Then Allah said in the Quran, bring one. Bring one. How many in this room know at least to recite Fatiha? Raise your hand. Can you make something like it? Okay, I guess that proves the point, doesn't it? That's the difference between the two. One has authenticity behind it. The other one has conjecture. Bismillah, it says here, Muhammad, something, I can't read it. It says, if Jesus was not crucified, as is believed by the Muslim believe he was not crucified, does the Quran tell who was crucified instead of Jesus? This is a very long one for the answer. It's beautiful, though. Because this was a big point to me on coming to Islam, how I'm going to be a Muslim, how I'm going to Islam, when they don't believe Jesus on the cross. That's who Jesus had to die for our sins. Otherwise, what? Otherwise, I got to pay for what I did? I don't think so. I know what I did. I don't pay for that. If I can find somebody to do it, I don't care what his name is. Except that there really is no evidence to prove that Jesus was ever on the cross. The only evidence you have is from the Bible, and we already talked about it doesn't exist anymore. You have people's versions. Right? The Quran clearly tells us, without doubt, they did not crucify him. They did not kill him, but somebody that looked like him was on the cross. This solved a big question for me that I had for years. Because in two testaments, in the New Testament, it says clearly, the one on the cross said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? And the other one, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My Lord, my God, why have you done this to me? Now that doesn't sound like salvation to me, does it to you? Huh? Sound like he wasn't let in on the plan, right? Sound like he's not very happy, right? Why did you forsake me? Whoa. And besides that, no prophet would ever say that. No prophet would say that. But somebody that looked like Jesus could say it, couldn't he? What is the word in the Arabic language for twin? Somebody that looks just like somebody else. Tell me. Tu'am. Tu'am. How do you say tu'am in the Greek? Thomas. Thomas. And the word Thomas, anybody know anybody named Tom or Thomas? You know anybody has that name? It means somebody who looks like somebody else. Go back and look at Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was also called Judas Tu'am, Thomas Iscariot. Who is he? He's the one who sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He looked like Jesus so much, he said, I'll go up to him, and when I hug him, when I kiss him, that's the one you want. That's what the Bible says. He went up to him and kissed him. But it says in the Bible, the earth shook and everybody fell down. When they got up, they grabbed him. Who did they grab? Who went to the cross? Is God fair or unfair? Is he fair or unfair? Who should go on the cross and suffer and say, God, why did you forsake me? The one who did all of God's will and prayed to God, thy will be done, or the one who sold him out? That looked like him. And the Quran said they did not kill him, they did not crucify him, but somebody that looked like him went to the cross. That solved it for me, and I'm ready. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. You have great questions here, and I love them. We're going to get to those, inshallah, later. The rest of these, also on our internet website, we have a section we're putting up called Issues, where we're going to deal with a lot of this. So we're going to wind down now and get ready for our next session. You've been listening to the question and answer session for Islam Tomorrow. We broadcast almost live right here on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. Website's open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking.